TVox Podcasts, Part 2, Pitch. I'm here again, Jennifer Kirk, with Zoe Robinson.
Hello again.
And we're going to talk a little bit about pitch and its effects, primarily from the point of view of male to female trans women trying to develop a more natural sounding female voice, often after having gone through the ravages of puberty, voice breaking, that sort of thing. Now, we've dealt with chest resonance, which on its own, it makes a big difference, but isn't necessarily the full mileage. And one of the other things that a lot of people notice, the difference between men and women's voices, is the pitch. Obviously, women do tend to be higher pitched. That isn't always the case, and it's an example that I always give, that women can have a very low pitch. And they're not necessarily read as being masculine because of that. Honor Blackman is somebody who has a very, very deep, almost gravelly voice. And she, you would not mistake her for being anything other than a woman. And similarly, you don't have to have a squeaky, I'm on helium-esque Kate Bush style voice to ensure being read as female. And it's perhaps one of the mistakes that I have seen made, or more accurately perhaps heard made, that people think, I must get as high-pitched as I possibly can. And that doesn't necessarily fit how you visually look. And the voice has to match the physical attributes of the person. You have somebody who's in their 40s or 50s, naturally, that sort of a person would not be expected to have a very high-pitched, squeaky voice. And I know when I went through the speech therapy and I had various things like my pitch was measured, I'm in the crossover range between average men and average women. And it fits with the physical image of me, what people see when they meet me. It fits with my age. And it doesn't draw attention to myself by being unduly squeaky. It's something I've heard a lot of trans women early on in speech therapy, perhaps thinking that pitch is far more important than it really is, and trying to get that really high-level squeaky, like, hello everybody, I'm really high-pitched. And it does actually strain your vocal cords as well, it should be noted. You can actually damage your voice through straining it. That was my experience of having my voice frequency tested. Zoe, what were your experiences with pitch?
Well, I'm one of the people that began life with, with one of those high-pitched, squeaky voices that was very, very false. Jenny noticed that one of the first things she noticed about me when we first met was how high-pitched my voice was, because it was up here, very squeaky, and I had a bit of a lisp because I thought it made me sound feminine. And no doubt it probably did, until you met me and realised that I wasn't 12. I wasn't some pink-clad, stereotypical female person. So, pitch is focused on a lot, especially on what I've seen on the internet of other hints and tips for transition and successful transition, because although pitch is something that people notice straight away, it isn't the be-all and end-all that a lot of us think it is. I was in the same boat. I thought it was at first, but pick up a CD sometime, or turn on the radio or the television and actually listen to some of the women that are on television, on radio. Radio 1, I remember, had a very successful range of female DJs that, if you didn't think about it, they were quite low-pitched, but they were definitely female. And it's the same with us. Just because you're low pitch doesn't mean you're going to get read.
Yeah, I mean, it's like with so many things, very much, advice that we'd give about clothing is look at people around you. And again, with pitch, it's listen to people around you.
and your own age. Look at people your own age. That's the most important part.
Yeah, sorry about that. Zoe has this habit of whispering at me. Even though I'm sat next to her, I can't hear what she's saying. She gets scared when you put a microphone in front of her. But anyway, I mean, how do we go about actually changing the pitch? I mean, everybody's voice has some degree of range. You know, you're not monotone. But you can start moving that pitch up by... And the best way to describe it is you start to hold the muscles in your throat slightly higher, slightly tighter, and you can feel, at first it will feel almost strained, and it's very important not to try and go too high, to push your range too far too quickly, but over time the muscles in your throat will become more used to the new position that they're being used in, and that goes with an awful lot of... the different speech therapy techniques. I know that when I went through it, the way it was described to me, the ideal end result was that I could get absolutely drunk out of my skin and I would still be able to maintain a female voice because it would become second nature to you. And again, with pitch, it may seem almost like an insurmountable mountain to climb over. And when you're feeling that your voice, it makes your throat feel tight, because your muscles just aren't used to being used in that way. But over time, you can try and just almost like move your voice box up. And it's one really, actually, it's worth looking in the mirror whilst you're trying some of the exercises to move your range up. You can actually see, if you've got an Adam's apple, it's much more prominent. You can actually see it sort of jump up when you reach this higher pitch. You can see the results of tightening the throat to raise the pitch, and you know, over time with practice it becomes second nature that the voice will sit at this new pitch, and it becomes almost impossible to get your voice right down low again to where it may have once been before. You will still maintain a lot of that range, but it becomes more and more difficult to access that lower pitch. But again, it's important not to overdo it, partially because you can damage the voice, but also because, you know, if you end up sounding very, very high pitched and squeaky, then that in turn can be counterproductive and draw possibly negative reactions to you. But there we go.
So I think the important point at this point is, how do we practice? I was always taught, and it's something I tell everyone else, singing flexes your vocal cords and helps you develop the range that you'll need in order to for successful speech.
Yeah, it's something I've heard a lot of people say is singing along to various records that you like in the car, very good environment to be able to practice without too much fear of other people, you know, walking in or listening in on you. I know a lot of people said, you know, pick female artists that you like and try and mimic that sound. And one of the easiest things to mimic when singing is, of course, the pitch. But yeah, again, it's something that, like with everything else, practice is how it will come. Just keep practicing. Build up that confidence, and with the chest resonance that we've already discussed moved out of your voice, you start to begin to form the basis to then move on to the fine tuning of the voice.